Thank you, Rachel. Focusing on our reading from Genesis this evening, I want to pose the question, have any of you ever wrestled with God? Now, I wouldn't dream of doing a show of hands under normal circumstances with a church full of people, but given that there are three of us present, I don't mind putting my hand up and saying, yes, I most certainly have wrestled with God. And some of you watching this perhaps are even wrestling right now. This evening, I want us to look at three case studies of individuals who have famously wrestled with God. And the first of those, of course, is Jacob from our Genesis reading. The notion that Christians have it all together, that they've got life neatly tied up with a bow, was something that really put me off faith for a very long time. I resisted it because life is messy, and I believe there should be an integrity about that. I want us to watch a video clip now that exposes the reality, certainly of my house on a Sunday morning, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who relates to this. So we'll play that clip now.
Sunday. We gotta get ready for church. Ryan! Ryan! Wake up, honey! Ryan, get up! Get up! What? Okay, I'm gonna hop in the shower real quick. You get the kids ready, and then we'll get going.
No.
Okay.
Hey, what? You just lay out their clothes, because it takes me 5 minutes.
Honey,
that's perfect.
Seriously.
Jack, well, we're already late for church.
Hey, Brian.
Go get yourself dressed.
Did you pick up my stuff from the dry cleaners?
Make it, break it. Make it, break it. Make it, break it.
Okay, Jack, I'm gonna make you waffles.
Can I have a sandwich?
Yes, but you gotta make it by yourself. Jack. Okay.
This is all I could find, and the zipper's broken.
All right, I'll go grab a safety pin.
I got the high score! Make it break.
Make it break. Hannah, what are you doing?
Daddy, I'm painting your fingernails.
Well, that's great, sweetie, but go get dressed.
You just stay still, okay? Honey. Hannah!
Come on, let's go!
Okay, everybody needs to eat. Here you go.
I need one.
Here you go. Okay, here you go.
I forgot my shoes!
Honey, we gotta go back.
Nobody's taking off their shoes, and I want everybody to understand that we're what?
We made it.
Yep.
Church should not be a place where we have to come and pretend to be anything other than the people that we are. It should be a place where we are free to come and openly share our struggles with people who will not judge, but will listen and have compassion and lift us up and encourage us. Jacob famously did not have it all together. He had tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright, which was a scandal of the magnitude that in today's context we just simply cannot understand. And yet God in his grace speaks to Jacob clearly. He speaks to him in dreams and in visions and pictures as he continues to speak to us today. A short while ago, I preached on Jacob and the dream he'd had of angels ascending and descending a ladder and what that meant. God had favour for him, even though he was a man deep in his sin. And the encounter that we hear in our reading this evening is a transformative encounter for Jacob. In this passage, Jacob is in an incredibly difficult position. He is trapped between two sets of enemies. On one hand, he's got the land of Laban. On the other, he's got the land of Esau, both enemies. He is emotionally and geographically in a crisis. And it's in this place that he meets powerfully with the Lord. I wonder if that sounds familiar to any of you. It is so often not on the mountaintops when life is flying high, but when we're in the deep, dark valley that we meet with him. Notice that Jacob's wrestle is his and his alone. The angels of his dreams are gone. It is just Jacob and the man that we later discover, of course, is the Lord. There are no friends present, no family, and it is in his isolation that he draws closest to God. I know when Finn and I were speaking to many of you for our latest edition of the Lockdown magazine, that those who are in solitary isolation, while finding it some of the hardest experiences we heard, also describe profound experiences of meeting with God in your isolation. Following this, a bizarre sequence of events occurs. Jacob does not back down, to the point at which his hip is dislocated. When I was 11 years old, I was running out of a friend's house towards my parents' car and I tripped and fell and dislocated my knee. And if that experience was anything to go by, I want nothing ever to do with a dislocated hip. I cannot begin to imagine the pain. And yet, in the face of that pain, Jacob clings to the Lord. He refuses to let go of him and he demands a blessing. What on earth is going on in this passage? I want to suggest this evening that this is a snapshot of Jacob's whole life. He has been fighting since birth, since before his birth, as he was clutching to Esau's heel as he was born. The culmination of this whole story happens now. This is the pinnacle of his engagement with God. Why doesn't he give up? Because he finally gets it. He finally understands that God is the answer. He's not fully trusted this until this point. He has grasped at success himself. He's grasped at power for himself. He's forged a path himself, and it's gone wrong time after time after time. Again, something that I can relate to, and I'm sure many of you can. And finally, he comes face to face with the Lord. In a physical fight, he gives himself wholly to God. I will not let you go. I know that you are the answer. I will trust you. It's not looking good right now, but I am going to cling to you anyway. Jacob clings on in his very darkest moment and is forever altered as a result. At the end of our reading, we hear that he will always now walk with a limp. This limp is an outward, a physical sign of the inward journey that Jacob has been on. This is his testimony. This is his story. You might not think a limp is a good thing to be left with, but actually this is his story of his journey with God that he can now share with others. So that's my first case study. Jacob wrestled with God. And my second is a friend of mine called Bethany. Bethany is in her 20s, and she is one of the most remarkable human beings I've ever had the privilege of knowing. She is a fighter and a survivor. Bethany has battled most of her life with mental health issues. She has suffered from severe anorexia nervosa and at various points been a prolific self-harmer. Her story is very well documented online. She works with FaZe in Hitchin, so I'm not breaking any confidences in sharing this with you this evening. And of course, she knows that I am. Like Jacob, she has clung to God in dark times of her life. Today, she remains in recovery and perhaps always will in many respects, but there is a joy and a strength and a light that emanates from her. And she never holds back on telling her stories of the goodness of God. I want to share one or two of my favourite quotes on her social media feeds with you this evening. God took this shell of a person that anorexia made me, and he has filled me with life and love. There was another one which was a picture of her holding a huge donut with an equally huge smile on her face. And she said underneath this, "I vividly remember speed walking around Camden, scared to breathe in too close to the food stalls in case I inhaled calories and gained weight. Anorexia logic, don't ask. I used to be baffled that people would ever choose to eat such food. At one point, I cried over a cereal bar." And see the light and the joy in her face in that photo was extraordinary. Next one. Take one giant bin and add bathroom scales. For so long, those scales have signified everything that I do not want in my life. Finding my worth in anything other than Jesus. Believing that I am not loved just as I am. Being a slave. I know I have been set free, but letting go is hard. Yet each step I take, while feeling scary, feels so amazing. And finally, my favourite one. You might think I'm crazy for being a Christian, but if you had lived my life and you had seen the transformation, it would be far more crazy to deny the miracle. Bethany boldly shares her story of wrestling with God. And it inspires me deeply and inspires many, many, many people that she has reached. My third and final case study is Jesus. Jesus wrestled with God in the Garden of Gethsemane. This man without sin wrestled with God. "Lord, if it be in accordance with your will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." In the face of his coming crucifixion, that is a wrestle. "Lord, take this cup from me." But he clings to God. Not my will, but yours be done. That's the story of Jacob and the story of Bethany and the story of Jesus. They submit, and as they submit to God, they find strength, a resurrection power. That's the weird economy of the gospel. As we give all that we are to him, so we find a strength we didn't know was possible. Three quite practical things I think we can learn from Jacob and Bethany and Jesus tonight. Firstly, we are never truly alone. There may be times when you have felt profoundly alone, desperately lonely. Perhaps if you were one of those people that was in solitary lockdown, or perhaps like me, you've had an experience of feeling painfully lonely in a crowd of 3,000 people. Yet we know from these stories that the Father is with us. He is always lifting us, encouraging us, allowing us to wrestle with his staggering love and grace and patience. We feel guilty for wrestling, but he wants us to wrestle with him. He longs to be part of that with us. Secondly, your wrestle may just end up being a huge blessing to others. There is a redemption glory as God works through us, works through our weaknesses, because you never know who is quietly struggling on the sidelines. Jacob thereafter always walks with a limp. Bethany's arms are covered in scars, but you know, she really doesn't wear long sleeve tops very often. And people stare. And she grabs that opportunity to tell the incredible story of how God is in the process of healing her. And Jesus, after his resurrection, says, "Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself." Look on the goodness of God. This wrestle is the story of all our roads towards redemption. So our encouragement tonight is to share our stories of our wrestles and how God has conquered and held us through the process. Thirdly, and lastly, I encourage you to engage with God in the wrestle. His shoulders are broad enough. He can take it. There are times when I rage at God. There are times I have asked him questions I honestly don't think I will ever find the answers to, and that infuriates me. But in that process, I meet with him, and I find what I need in that encounter. I find that that encounter with him is my freedom and my healing. If not the answers that I want, there is a freedom in that moment. Jesus wrestled with the Lord, and he invites you to do just the same and to share your stories of wrestling with one another, to encourage each other that we are not alone in this tussle. Let's respond to this God of grace now in worship.